AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, lies, feline, with a death wish. E right didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Sorry for coming back a little bit late. Beyond the fact that it's 11:07 now, I was ranting to Sean about the Jalen Hurts sob stories that's being written by everyone. I'll get into why it bothers me. Not the fact that Jalen Hurts is a winner, credit to him, but everyone's writing him up like he had the toughest path to get to a Super Bowl champion. Relax, everyone. Let's get to Tommy. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, man. I love you, Dale. You're great. I listen to ESPN all the time. Your station in Houston. But Jim Nance, he's from Houston. You didn't mention him.
Yes, Jim Nance is one of the biggest proponents of Houston sports that there is. We were more looking for the types that, you know, are actors, because it was in comparison to watching Bradley Cooper out there, John Hamm out there, Anne Hathaway, Miles Teller, like these A-listers that wind up. Look, Jim Nance is a Hall of Famer, A-lister in sports, and he fits the bill. But we were hoping maybe a Dennis Quaid would show up at a Super Bowl for the Texans. But, yeah, Jim Nance is not a bad name.
I don't know about Dennis Quaid, man. I didn't know he was in Houston, too. That's funny.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot. Sean did a lot of the work by looking up names like Hillary Duff, I guess. I don't know if she's an A-lister, but it's the best we're going to get, maybe. But, hey, I can guarantee if the Houston Texans make the Super Bowl, Jim Nance is going to be there. We don't even have to worry about that one. He is going to be in that building. Yeah. He shows up for Houston events all the time. But, yeah, Jim Nance isn't a bad name. I saw some people write Rusty Harden. Stop it, everyone. Don't tweet me Rusty Harden. Yes, Rusty Harden sits on the sideline for games. Dan Rather was mentioned, as we talked about. Art, yeah. Rusty Harden, stop.
I think the best we're going to do is Wes Anderson.
You think Wes Anderson showing up for a football game? He seems very artsy.
Him and the Owen and Luke Wilson?
Maybe.
I do have a heart. Maybe. Oh, where are they from?
Wilson's? Owen and Luke Wilson. Yeah. We don't want anybody glomming on. But look, Anne Hathaway's not from Philly, and she showed up. So maybe. I don't know what her connection is, but we may get there.
Born in Dallas.
They're not gonna be Texans fans. I think those guys are hockey guys, too, from what I
remember.
Okay,
Tillman, bring the team.
That's his goal. He wants one here. Good luck with that. But we got to get there first. I mean, there's a lot of hope for a potential celebrity A-lister to show up and be in the crowd and be represented, maybe introduce us. You know, they would probably go with a music artist. Beyonce, maybe.
Yeah.
If the Texans made a Super Bowl, they probably have Beyonce pull Bradley Cooper
or
John Hamm
did. Or like Megan Thee Stallion or something like that.
You think Beyonce would have to turn it down first?
Yeah. And I think she would. What, you want me to just... And here are the Houston Texans?
Well, Jay-Z has a connection. He gets the Super Bowl, halftime show done. He's part of that. So maybe
she sings the anthem. I don't know.
That could happen. I think she would do that in the city.
Yeah,
in Houston. But hey, we're just dreaming here. I was watching all that yesterday and thought to myself, how would it play out for the Texans?
The ZZ Top guys? Although I think some
of them more like music. That. Look, I guess we're just stuck with people and music. Because the likelihood of Wes Anderson showing
and
up.
Now.
And he's the director. He's not even an actor.
Yeah, oh, here's you.
Like, he's not even
AFC
Spielberg.
Champions.
You think Wes Anderson's going to go up there and put on the get hype voice for the Texans?
Just like whatever Asteroid City.
He's gonna he's gonna put on a Texans H-Town blue jersey and go out there and hype up the Texans. I don't know, man. We need someone else.
No, I mean it would be like Bun B or someone.
They would. I think we would default to someone in music. But I expect those guys to be there. I expect those guys to be the star of the weekend for the most part. Paul Wall, Bun B, others.
Mike Jones. Yeah.
You got to pull him out of mothballs. To do it. Hey, I would love it. Have him there too. But we got hopefully
Riff Raff will be there.
Riff Raff. But hopefully it actually becomes a thing where we consider who will be the people representing us in that realm. But take some improvement on that offense of line first, at least in my eyes, and we'll see what they do in the offseason. So we have more from Nico Collins. He is at this point your only accomplished receiver who will be healthy in 25. We'll see what they do to add to that. He, beyond talking about Nick Cayley, was asked about the Texans as a whole for 2025 and the goal. And Nico Collins is kind of a driven dude, and he thinks they're close. Here's Nico Collins on the Texans and what they need to do to reach the Super Bowl.
Some of these guys.
Man, CJ is great. He's great now. You know, since he came in, man, you could tell his mindset and leadership to lead is amazing. You know, the way he carries himself, he doesn't feel like a rookie, you know, now in second year, you know, doesn't feel like that, you know. But a dude is special, man. The sky's the limit for him, man. You can see it every Sunday, every rep, you know, any ball he throws, man, dude, he got it. And I feel like for us, just continue to grow, continue to find that next step, and continue to have that growth mindset. You know, I feel like, man, the sky's the limit for everybody on the team. And I just can't wait for next year. Everybody get back in the building, man, so we just pick up where we left off. You know, we left bad taste, you know, in our mouths, you know, leaving KC, you know. So we know what it takes. We know what we got to do to make that next jump. And so I feel like we all decided and locked in right now.
How does that impact the internal expectations? I know you guys always are shooting. Everybody's trying to win a championship. But
yeah.
2023, you're like the surprise team. You're right. Fun. And, hey, D'Amico right. and CJ, right. they're kind of out of nowhere. This year you have more pressure on you. And, again, it was a bumpy season. Yeah. You still got there.
Yeah.
But are you starting to get to that point where it's, hey, we gotta get right. to the Super Bowl. We gotta win the Super Bowl or it's a disappointment?
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, man, like, we know what it takes. We right there. You know, we just right there. Barely, like, we right there, man. Just one game away. And I feel like just for us, man, we know what it takes, and we just got to have everybody available around that time, especially towards the back end of the season, man. It's a marathon, you know, and I feel like that's when you got to be playing your best ball, you know, if you want to continue to go where you want to go. And for us, we got to figure it out. And I feel like we will. I'm not stressing about it. I love this team, man. I love the guys. And I can't wait to link up with everybody when we get back in the building.
Do they know what it takes? That only will be proven by winning one of these games. I'm sure he's confident. You can't play the game without being confident. You can't accomplish anything you want to without being confident. But we'll see about the know what it takes. Go win one of these games, and I'll believe it. Because anyone who plays in those games and wins them says there's a difference between doing it and thinking you can do it. So we saw two teams last night who have had a run of success, the Eagles less so, although they're getting there. That's two since 2017. And they got, if you want to call it revenge, against a team who stopped them from winning a third in that time span. Do the Texans look like the Eagles in any way, shape, or form? Like, you get the Chiefs thinking, okay, if calls, I still disagree, but if a call went this way, maybe we got a shot. But at the top of the sport, consistently, maybe the Chiefs are a better matchup for the Texans. But the Ravens, top of the sport. And they're not even the top of the sport.
Yeah.
They are one of the contenders, but they have not been able to rise above and win one.
I think it's fair to put them to say that
they're always going to be a team.
On top of the Texans.
Oh, clearly. But they're always going to be a team you have to consider with Lamar and their physicality. How they're going to consider them as a potential Super Bowl winner.
I will say, like, for the Chiefs specifically, and or the, you know, in the Chiefs matchup, how the Texans compared to the Eagles. Like, I could see a world where they have that kind of front four, where they have a game where they just absolutely wreck the offensive line without blitzing. Like, they're not that far away from doing that.
And Anderson.
Yeah, with Hunter and Anderson. Really, it's the Williams piece for Philadelphia, the guy in the middle that's rushing the passer. That isn't Mario Edwards, who's good, but obviously you just need, like, one extra or two extra levels above that. And then, yeah, and then the offense.
Yeah, like, the Texans.
Honestly, the Eagles' offense is kind of like a supercharged version of what the theory of the Texans' offense was, where it's two awesome receivers and a good running back. Texans just didn't actually get that out of their offense
because of their offensive line. Meanwhile, the Eagles have one of the best in the game, if not the best in the game. So there are clear differences. I think the Eagles as far as talent on the lines surpass the Texans because of their offensive line. It's much more even.
Oh, yeah.
With the
their
defensive
offensive
fronts.
Line just on a different
but
planet.
It changes the story, and because of how bad the Texans' offensive line has been and hopefully stops being, I don't know if C.J. Stroud survives a game. No, not death, but is he going to make it out of that? Is he going to finish the game against the Eagles the way they're getting after Patrick Mahomes with that offensive line that the Texans would have showcased?
No, yeah.
These are the differences. Nico Collins, you as a receiver, you may not be A.J. Brown. You're better than Devontae Smith, but you are one of those guys where you can hold yourself at the level that they are. But your offensive line is going to be the difference between you achieving what you think your team is capable of achieving and not. So, are you close? Feels like you're very far away. If I have to line up the offensive line from 2024 in 2025 and say, hey, go win three big games and get to a Super Bowl. And that's me saying they're not going to have the bye. Go win your wild card game. Go win your division round game. Your AFC title. Weird. Yeah, it stops at one. Go win the AFC title game. That offensive line is going to get you to three. That has to be changed.
I feel good about one. I feel good about the wild card.
I feel good about one depending on the matchup. If you bring me some flawed teams in your building, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, eat them up.
Chargers.
Bring them on.
Browns.
Yep.
If for some reason the Steelers had held on and pushed the Ravens to a five.
Yep.
No.
Oh, wait. Oh, I thought you meant they played the Steelers.
No, if I said the Steelers had held on to win the division and pushed the Ravens to a five reason. Yeah, there are levels, as they say. The Texans are at a level where they can play with the Steelers and the Chargers and others. Take that step. That's what this offseason is going to be about. They got the defense for it. I believe in that. I believe in, even though they are susceptible to maybe not even giving up the big play, but the big play being open, sometimes the receivers didn't connect with the quarterback. Even though that was a thing throughout the year, I believe this defense is championship caliber. And they can certainly add to it. The offense, which we thought was going to be really strong, is a problem. They got answers that need. They got questions that need to be answered. Okay, good to hear from Nico Collins. No worries about him. He is one of the premier receivers in the game. When we come back, more words from Bob Nightingale on Bregman, and this is mostly because the Cubs have opened up spring training, and their decision makers had some thoughts on potentially adding Bregman. We'll get to that when we come back. If you want to get in, you can 713-780-3776. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So I was reminded of this while looking up things on Twitter. I mean, depending on where you fall, you can call them celebrations or riots in Philly. All depends. If you're in Philly, you're an Eagle fan, you may say that's just celebrating. They're the fan base where the guy ate poop, horse poop, after they won a Super Bowl. We have not seen a video to that standard as of yet. It's early, but not yet.
Yeah, might have to wait till the parade for that.
Yeah. Someone to lose their absolute minds. And as the... don't they call, like, all police animals, officers themselves. Like when the officer relieves himself on the ground, we will see if one of the Eagles fans decides that, hey, now's the time to replicate something that happened 7 years ago. Or now, what? Was it 7 years ago now? Or is it eight now?
Seven
years ago.
I didn't know that they called police animals officers.
Yeah, they will call
a canine. I've been doing that in my everyday life.
It's a canine officer. I think they say that.
But do you have to say, like, Officer Peanut Butter or whatever its name is?
Well, you know what Jason Whitlock would think once you say that.
I'm sorry I picked that one word.
Joe's using the...
No, I mean, I can still...
That's fine. Don't worry about it. Do they call it...
That peanut butter skin.
There it is. Do they call them equine officers for the horses? We don't know. But I do believe they call police animals officers.
Okay. Next time I see one, I'll...
You don't have to salute. Do you salute human police officers? Why do you have to salute the dog?
Next time I see that German Shepherd of you.
Just show him the proper respect. That's all.
Officer?
That's right.
Yes, sir. When that dog barks at me.
Can you give it a treat, or is that against the law?
I think that they frown upon that.
I don't think you should feed the officers.
I know that, like, people, like, service animals, and I'm talking about real service animals, not, you know, where you just buy the thing and put it on your dog. Now you can bring them on a flight. But, where blind people need the sing-eye dogs, they normally are like, don't pet my dog, please. He's just trying to do a job.
So canine officers are the guys who train the dogs.
Ah.
So maybe I'm wrong on if they call the animals officers themselves.
I know they take pictures. Like I've seen the headshots.
And they retire. Stuff like that. Either way, there's a chance at the parade.
I'll call him officer just to play it safe.
I'm sure that German Shepherd, as you said, will appreciate the respect you're showing him. That's credit to Sean and how he was raised. Showing respect. Just,
yes, sir. No, sir.
Do you do it in a bark, or do you actually say yes, sir, no, sir?
No, come on.
That would be silly, right? Barking to show your respect.
I can't say sir in a bark.
That's true. It's true. Who knows how that dog would take it? You may be in real trouble. Okay, so Bob Nightingale is writing again, talking about Alex Bregman some more. The Cubs opened up spring training. And one of the questions asked of their president of baseball operations was about Bregman and where they stood. And he said, unclear. I think you always look for an opportunity, but right now we're going to focus on the guys we have in camp. That's the plan. So it's very much the Dana Brown approach, where Dana Brown, I think, is funnier with his wording. It's interesting that he's such a good player and still available. It's interesting. I think it's in reference to the demands they've made on the contract, and yet no one is willing to pay it or maybe even match what the Astros have offered. It's interesting that he's still out there. Such a good player, and he's out there. Look at that. Amazing, right? Jed Hoyer, a little different, but there it is. The Cubs, one of the rumored teams to be interested in Bregman, are looking at it, but doesn't appear to be any real urgency there either. And then they ask some of the players and, you know, all the nice things they say about how he'd help any clubhouse he walked into, so on and so forth. But right now, as the Cubs open spring training, Alex Bregman, not with anyone. And I guess we talked about this once this whole thing started, would we make it to spring training? I thought he might be signed middle of January, but we weren't specific about who was going to open spring training. But if we were going by what we said, spring training has started, and Alex Bregman still available. I don't have a real determination whether or a real opinion if I'm going to say this is a whiff by Boris, because I don't know what the final deal is. But his guy has offers, just not to the level he wants, and we all will wait. And does Bregman, he's already said goodbye to the Astros fans. If he's officially with someone else, does he take out something like Presley did and give us that full-page article in the Chronicle telling us how great his time was here and he was happy to win here, and he loves the fans. He'll always love the city. We getting one of those?
Probably.
I think so. I think we'll get one.
It's very funny that we would get in like March 10th. We're getting it.
We're watching a JP France pitch, and then the Chronicle letter, yeah, full page letter
the full
comes
page
out.
Ad is right full next to today's box. Yeah, today's box score. Yeah, around the league. Yeah,
France went for 1 1/3, 2 strikeouts, a couple walks.
It's also, here's also three Alex paragraphs Bregman. About how much well, Alex Bregman.
To be honest, the Alex Bregman thing would take precedent. But yeah, we're getting to that point where guys are going to be in those. In those spring training uniforms, those spring training, yeah,
doing a lot of
stretching,
get a lot of B roll of guys doing like calisthenics.
That's right,
doing the thing where they jog and touch their toe.
I honestly want this to happen before the Astros have to make comments about it, because it'll be every day someone being asked about. We're getting close.
I have bad news for you.
I know.
Pitchers and catchers are this week.
I know. This is what can we get this done in the next couple days? No. So Altuve every couple. He'll be asked at the start of spring training if Bregman's still available, and then if he picks another team, he'll get asked again. We at least have got a couple more days of Altuve having to talk about how much he loves Bregman and wanting him back, and then saying, oh, it's sad that he's gone, that's the business, blah, 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 always love the guy, all the stuff they say.
Please, just ask him about left field.
I am far more interested in how he feels after actually making it to training camp. Playing games in spring training in left field, that is a bigger story for me, because the Bregman thing is a little old and nothing happens until he finally decides something is fine with him as far as a contract offer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think Bob Nightingale can just kind of schedule these tweets for twice a week for the rest of the rest of February. He can just kind of schedule Sunday night, update on Bregman, update in quotes on Bregman, and then maybe like Thursday, that seems to be like we get one at the start of the week, one towards the end of the week, and every time we're like, oh,
if I'm
down to three teams.
If I'm Nightingale, the only camps I visit are Bregman teams. Like,
yeah.
I go to the Tigers, I go to the Red Sox. That's about it, right? And then I guess I got to visit the Astros. He's already been in the Cubs.
Oh, okay.
He's with the Cubs right now.
Oh, okay.
So you make the trips. You get to those four places.
Are they all in Florida? Because that'd be super
well,
helpful.
The Cubs are in Arizona.
Ah.
I don't know the Tigers and the Red Sox are.
I would just try to go to ones in the same.
Well, maybe we know the Astros in Florida. Maybe the Tigers and the Red Sox are in Florida. So you already got the Arizona trip out of the way.
There we go.
And then you can get to Florida and talk to those guys. And then he can have a story every couple days.
I mean, he can visit Bregman's house in Arizona while he's there.
Talk to the neighbors.
So, has Bregman said anything? Have you seen him packing winter clothes?
Has he divulged anything?
Yeah.
Have you seen him walk? Have you seen him at the local? I don't know if they have a Dick's in Arizona. Have you seen him buying a particular hat? Like he's going to do a hat trick?
Or like, you know. So have they unloaded all the like jackets and stuff that they might need if they move to Philly or to Boston or Chicago?
Their neighbor's like, who are you again?
Bob Nightingale, USA Today.
Once again, who are you? Why are you asking me questions about? I didn't even know this guy was our neighbor.
Yeah, I was going to say about my new neighbors that I haven't talked to.
Yeah, he's hasn't been in town. All we see is work on the house. We've never seen the guy who owns the place. Bob Nightingale. I wish he would go to Bregman's neighborhood. Because he might as well. It's been him as a national writer, and then we've got all the local guys doing their thing because they cover the Astros, and it makes sense. Okay, we'll get the break here. We got a couple more segments to go. Sean, did you see the trailer for Thunderbolts? Or did you see the commercial and then run to YouTube to watch the trailer?
I just saw the commercial. I was talking to Michael about this.
We'll talk about it. I certainly was like, wait a minute. I don't care about this game anymore. I'm running to YouTube to watch the trailer, because don't just give me 30 seconds of Yelena. I got to watch the whole thing. Trailer's fine, to be honest with you. Like I said, a couple more seconds ago, we will be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Eric, I see you. The thing I did want to get to about that Thunderbolts trailer, because someone said something very funny, that the cost of living in New York and the MCU has got to be really cheap. Because if you live in New York, you got a real shot of dying really quickly. So how many people really want to live there? Because the Thunderbolts is set in New York, too. So at least part of it is. And if you watch the trailer, people are getting murked pretty quickly.
Like easily. The easiest. I just watched it during the break. Easiest murders of the MCU.
Yeah. So just getting turned into shadows on the ground. So that's the void. I mean, we're getting very nerdy. But Thunderbolts, you can watch it. You know, we'll talk about it at some point because we do that. But let's get to Eric here. Eric wants to discuss whatever Eric generally wants to discuss. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill, Miami, Olale.
It's not my middle name.
Yeah, that was the most lame Super Bowl ever, the most least watched. Also, did you see the trailer
already
for Megan 2.0?
You have the
I know that.
You have the numbers already, Eric, on that?
I do. I have a friend. Oh, also, did you see the trailer for Megan 2.0? Are you going to watch that? And also, are you going to go see Scream 7? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, let's start with Megan 2.0. I have seen the first Megan. Will I watch Megan 2.0? Definitely. Will I go see it in the theater? No. I'll see it when it's on streaming. I think Paramount Plus has the first one, something like that, whatever. I've seen it that way. I will see it. But I'm not going to the theater to see Megan 2.0. I like a horror movie, even if it is with this realistic doll who does TikTok dances before she murders people. It's fine. I'll watch it from the comfort of my home. What else did he ask about? There's another movie. Can't remember. It's not great for my not great for me that I don't remember, like, seconds ago what he asked about.
I'm still thinking about the most least watched Super Bowl of all time. That's what he said. He was the most least watched.
He's got a guy, or he has someone who told him. It was another movie. Oh, well. Forgot it. Eric, I may make reference to it tomorrow when I listen back, but I don't remember what you said. Sorry about that. I'm with Sean. I was still taken aback by how confident you were.
Hold on. I'm just looking up movies with Super Bowl commercials. Just...
I haven't seen the trailer, though, but I will watch it. It has one of the women from Girls. I forgot her name. She was also in Get Out. She played a role in the first one. I don't know if she's in the second one. Allison Williams, Brian Williams' daughter, the NBC News guy for a time. Thanks, Eric, for the call. I apologize for not remembering the second thing or the third thing you said. That's on me. On me. Okay, couple things. I don't know if Shingun's going to be available for the All-Star game. He is another one of the Rockets that is injured. But Giannis is out for that game, so that means Trae Young, who was complaining about being snubbed, he's in it. Likelihood that Anthony Davis isn't going to play is it's not even likelihood. It's definite at this point. So maybe we see Sabonis. We might see. He seems like the likely choice if you're just going big man for big man. And maybe Shingun is a guy who doesn't make that trip either, the way he is dealing with his back spasms. I believe that's what they are. So Shingun didn't play yesterday against the Raptors. He did play. He got hurt in the game. He was missed. And the Rockets had trouble scoring, to put it kindly. That was an ugly basketball game that they won. You'll take it because they had played really poorly up until that point for the better part of 2 weeks now. And maybe you want to stretch it back longer than that, because even some of the games they won, they're bad in the fourth quarter. So they really needed that one against a bad Raptors team who was down guys too, like R.J. Barrett, and they made that trade for Brandon Ingram. He didn't play. Jalen Green had 18 points yesterday. Dylan Brooks had 19. Neither of them shot the ball very well, which is consistent with the rest of the team. 36%. 31 field goals made, 15 turnovers. Just a awful basketball game aesthetically. Unless you have memories of watching the Spurs Pistons in that finals, this was a game for you. That, if you like that type of basketball and the scores, those Net Spurs finals, this one here, take that with you.
Real basketball, though.
Real hoops is what we would say.
What I grew up on. I didn't know an NBA without that.
Yeah. Now all this 3-point shooting, like Scottie Barnes was 0-for-8 from 3. Jonathan Mogbo was 0-for-6. Two of their starters were 0-for-14 combined from three. And then your backcourt, your starting backcourt for the Rockets was 2 of 6 and 1 of 6. We got one of those Jalen Green games where the threes kept flying, but they were not going down. I can't even single them out. The entire active roster played that way. And Lance brought up these numbers about Reed Sheppard. He's playing, and that's great with Fred VanVleet out. More minutes has not meant more production. We're talking 2-3-3 in his last three ball games. He did score 16 against the Nets in that loss. I think he scored like 11 in the third quarter or so. But he as a whole has been a disappointment. I'm not surprised that Ime wasn't leaning on the undersized young rookie. But you would have hoped in these moments where inevitably an injury happens and it happens at the position he's most likely to play going forward, he would offer a little more. Just has not been the case. He doesn't turn the ball over except for the game against Minnesota, so that's nice in his short stints. But the shooting has to improve. He is can be a pest on ball. He's not big, doesn't have long arms, but his quickness, anticipation, all that stuff is supposed to work out in defensive end. That's going to make him not such a target, at least against guards. He's going to have to deal with switches his entire career. Guy's going to target him that way. But the shooting's going to keep him on the floor or keep him off of it. That's got to change. And sometimes rookies who are known to be able to shoot struggle, but the 30% from the floor, the 26.5% from three, a lot of positives for the Rockets this year. If we remove this last stretch of games, this is the one where you're like, man, maybe we're too quick to talk about clearly the best player in the draft and how could he fall to three. Some scouts had him as a number one overall pick in the draft, understandably a weak draft. But that's the guy you would hope. Once the All-Star break hits, whatever is a trigger to get him to be better shooting, you need that. Could it be important in these playoffs, considering how this team struggles? Maybe, if he gets time when the team is healthy. But even for the future, which I'm not condemning him with this season, but it is a surprise.
And most, like if you just go through like the last like five, maybe even more drafts, the small point guards, like their rookie years are normally pretty tough.
Yeah, Scoot, we know. Scoot Henderson.
Darius Garland had a terrible rookie year.
It may just be part of the deal. You have to find areas where you're going to get shots off and be comfortable doing it. There have been some open looks that he's missed, but to your point, it's not unique. Scoot Henderson is playing better now. Portland's playing better. I don't know where that came from. They did recently lose one, but they had ripped off.
They're now like three games out of the play-in.
Yeah, they had ripped off a long winning streak out of nowhere. Didn't know where it came from. It's not like they were experienced this long stretch of health. I mean, Ayton is in and out of the lineup. A lot of guys are, but they found ways to win. So part of that is Scoot playing better. So you never know. And we're in year three of Scoot.
No, year two.
Is it two still in two?
It was the same draft as Wembanyama. Yeah.
Correct.
Second year Scoot.
Yeah. So it's only felt that way watching those numbers come across the screen every time I say, this has been going on forever.
Also, Dell, are you going to watch Scream 7?
Oh, that's what it was. It was Scream 7.
I went back and listened to the...
That's what it was. Scream 7. Yes, but it's another movie I'm never going to set foot in a theater to see. It all goes the same way. I mean, am I going to be surprised? Yes, the mystery is always who's Ghostface. It's always a mystery. That's always a bit that they do. Sometimes they're very meta with what they do, referencing past movies or even don't they have the Stab series is inside the movie. It's the movie about the movies. So I can sit at home and watch Scream 7. No Jenna Ortega, no Melissa Barrera, those two out. But we're getting the old cast back. Nev Campbell's coming back. I thought Courtney Cox was dead in that series, but maybe
spoilers.
Not.
Hmm? Spoilers.
I said I thought she was dead. I don't know that she is dead. I'm remembering her being dead, but I'm not sure.
I've never seen any of these movies. So.
I've seen the recent ones again on Paramount. That's how I see a lot of these things. I'm never going to walk into a theater.
This segment brought to you by Paramount Plus, Mountain of Entertainment.
They're not sponsoring anything, so we'll stop mentioning them. Let's just say I've seen these movies on streaming services.
Unnamed.
Unnamed streaming services. That's where I see a lot of these things that I never walk into a theater to see. Look, Marvel has its clutches on me, so I'm going to see all the Marvel movies in theaters. But other than that, you got to be real, real special to get me into a theater. And even Nosferatu, which I did watch in theater, I could have waited. It's just horny Dracula. I didn't need to go to the theater to see that, but I figured why not. But from what I can tell, a lot of the old cast will be back for Scream 7. So, Eric, hopefully we can talk about it. And when you mention it, I'll remember it, as opposed to completely forgetting it seconds after you say it. All right, we got one more segment to go. We'll hear from Ime Udoka on someone, well, pretty much everyone who's hurt. He had an injury update before the game, so we'll hear from him on the latest on Tari, Steven Adams, Jabari, and Fred. This was before Shingun was out, so you won't hear him talk about that. But we'll hear that, and then we'll wrap it up here. And Gallant and George is up next. We'll get to them in a little bit, but we'll be back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
While Reed Shepherd is playing because of injuries, so is Jeff Green. So is Aaron Holiday. He started. We'll see how long Shingun is out after leaving yesterday's game. But this was Ime Udoka before the game, giving updates on Tari, on Fred, on Jabari. We'll see where some of these key contributors for the Rockets are and how quickly they'll be back.
This is the third game that Steven has missed with the sore ankle. Do you have any idea what the outlook is on that, or if it's going to keep affecting him even after the break?
No, I think he worked his way up to playing the back-to-backs and then he had a grueling one where he increased the minutes, I think the New York, Brooklyn, and so felt a little sore after that. Probably, I would assume, going into All-Star break, this back-to-back and the next, he'll miss one of the two.
With Tari, do you have an idea of when he might be able to start playing in both games of back-to-backs?
So? Basically the same situation as Steven.
With Fred and Jabari, is there a chance they come back this week, or is it other side of the All-Star break?
Most likely after All-Star break.
Saw Jabari doing some more shooting on the road, has the cast off now. Like, is he doing just non-contact stuff still, or what's he doing?
Yeah, more ball handling, more shooting. Plan is to get looked at right before All-Star break and hopefully clear for contact during the break.
So the Rockets will be most likely without Jabari and Fred. I guess the Suns and the Warriors. Those are two home games, two more back-to-backs. They'll have today and Tuesday off. Or tomorrow off, excuse me. And then they'll have a Suns team who's wobbling, and so are the Warriors. Their new acquisition, Jimmy Butler, played well. He did the foul. I won't say grifting, but he got to the line like 11 times. I think he took less than 10 shots and wound up with 25 points. That's kind of his impact. They were down big to the Bulls, and Steph lost his mind, and Jimmy came along for the ride a little bit later. So we'll see. I say that, but it's the NBA. Jimmy Butler could very well miss the game. But this week, at least, we'll see two teams that are fighting, scrapping, to try to stay in the playoff mix. So you expect them to be motivated. Kevin Durant likely won't play. We will see about that, as he is dealing with an ankle thing, I believe. Rockets have dealt with plenty, so not going to feel too bad no matter who shows up for those two teams, as the Rockets are trying to get back on track. They did beat the Raptors yesterday. So I was talking about this with Sean during the break, and the narrative quite a bit right now is how much Jalen Hurts has overcome. He got benched at Alabama in the title game. He stuck around for a year, which a lot of people gave him credit for. Then he transferred to Oklahoma. I think he became a Heisman finalist. And then, of course, he's never missed a playoffs as a quarterback. He played great in the Super Bowl and they lost. Last year, he wasn't great, but most of that blame went to Sirianni and their coordinators, and now he wins the Super Bowl. Credit to Jalen Hurts. This is not that much about him, but I'm not sure we should be writing the sob story for. He's been in the league since, what, 2021?
2020. 2020 draft.
As I said, never missed the playoffs. been in two Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl, now Super Bowl MVP. And the worst thing on the field, at least, I don't know his personal life, the worst thing that's happened to him on the field is he got benched in a title game, which his team eventually won because he was bad in the first half. And that's the sob story people are writing for him. Like, I can't believe he overcame all that.
Yeah.
I mean,
he had to scrap and claw his way. Little old Alabama.
Start as a freshman at Alabama. Sure, Nick Saban picked a different quarterback to start against USC, but eventually he got to Jalen Hurts, and he started, played in several title games, is a national champion, multiple-time SEC champion, and he sat, didn't even sit, played in situations in his final season at Alabama. Hell, even turned it around and won the SEC title when Tua was struggling and injured, came in and won that game, and then transferred to Oklahoma and had a great year. And this is the sob story we're writing about how much he's overcome?
I mean, yeah, he was a second-round pick. Everyone doubted him.
Yeah, I think Kevin Nagandi, who's – I think he went to Temple, so there's a Philly thing there, wrote about how Tua was drafted ahead of him, Burrow was drafted ahead of him, Herbert's drafted ahead of him, and he's been to two Super Bowls and
no rings.
Yeah, no rings for them, ring for him. I can't wait for Joe Burrow to win a Super Bowl because guess what? Didn't get on the field at Ohio State. Nearly died against UCF in the Fiesta Bowl. Came back and won a national title with one of the most talented teams to ever do it. One ACL, right? One ACL, other injuries, playing the Super Bowl, and then when he wins one, get that sob story out for Joe Burrow, too.
Two-time comeback player of the year in the NFL.
Didn't even mention that.
Very funny award.
Nuts that that's the thing that he's won twice in a short amount of time. He's only been around since 2022. And he has multiple comeback player of the year awards. Yes. If you want to give credit to Jalen Hurts for winning a Super Bowl and winning an MVP, and if you're a Houston person, you want to congratulate him for that, understood. But I'm not down with how much he's overcome. Save the tweets. He's been in the league less than five seasons now? 5 seasons now. And he's
starter for 4 of them.
Yes. And has never missed the playoffs. What are we doing? Never missed the playoffs as a starter. Cut it out. He's with one of the best franchises in football.
Everyone doubted. Nick Saban doubted.
Nick Saban doubted him so much he played him as a freshman and played him in 2 championship games.
And then
Lincoln Riley was like, you know who I want? Give me Jalen Hurts. Known quarterback guru. Could pick anyone he wanted and said, I want Jalen Hurts. All the doubters. The only people who doubted him were Philly fans. The most doubt he got was Philly fans and media people. But the rest of us have watched him, and hey, Jalen Hurts is pretty good.
Yeah,
he's not a superstar per se, but he's pretty good.
But today you'll have a hard time fighting those same Philly fans that doubted him. Are going to be like, well, I still have some questions.
Yeah, too busy crawling up grease poles. We ain't got time to doubt Jalen Hurts today.
Oh, you mean
the light poles?
Oh, okay. Crawling up greased poles.
That's what they were. I would have said. If I was going to make that joke that you thought I was alluding to. All right, we're done for the day. Credits to the Eagles. Shout out to Jalen Hurts. I just don't know why I should feel bad and applaud him for all he's overcome. I'm not sure what that's about. But he won. He's a champion. You can't take that away from him. Gone George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
So did Jalen Hurts. Overcame it all. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Boy, season's free.